Thank you for listening to Covenant Fellowship Lake Dallas Weekly Sermon. Covenant Fellowship is located at 625 Lake Dallas Drive in Lake Dallas, Texas. For more information and resources, you can visit our website at cfld.org. That's cfld.org. Now for our message today, here is Pastor Raymond Harper.
For those of you who have not listened to Brother Babu preach, you're in for a treat. This is God's providence. He allowed me to make it back for this Sunday when Babu would be here. And I missed him the last time he preached here, so I'm really looking forward to it. So enjoy.
It is a great honor and a privilege to be here to speak from God's word. And I'm very thankful for this opportunity. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your remembrance of us while we were away. This morning, will you please turn with me to the book of Philippians, the epistle of Apostle Paul to the Philippians. And that is chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. That's what I'm going to read. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We know the American dream. It is the pursuit of happiness. But the unfortunate thing is that when we are pursuing happiness, that happiness is very limited, and it is limited to the physical realm. And people think that, you know, if you have enough money and if you have good health, you have good circumstances, then you can be happy. But unfortunately, that is not the way you can achieve happiness or joy in your life. And in all the things that God gives to us in the physical world, they are great and wonderful, but they are not enough. You know, even though probably the United States is one of the most advanced and most rich places under the sun, probably we are also the people who uses the most amount of tranquilizers and sleeping pills. That is a, you know, kind of a contradiction. That means that, you know, we are in somehow missed the point, and we have missed the joy that we are looking for. Apostle Paul is saying here, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice always. Someone has said that happiness usually depends on what happens. So what we need is not happiness. What we need is joy, which can go beyond the circumstances. And where, Apostle Paul will say that, you know, where we can rejoice always. And you know that, you know, the book of Philippians is actually a book or an epistle written by Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And this is one of the prison epistles. Can you imagine a letter sent from a prison talking about joy? That is kind of strange, isn't it? He's saying that, you know, so according to Apostle Paul, joy is not something which is restricted by one's circumstances. One can rise above one circumstance and find the joy. And that joy is something which always remains. And he says, always in the Lord. And he said, to say the same thing to you, you know, I have no problem in saying the same thing to you, because joy is one of the great gifts that God gives to God's people. we can rejoice always in our lives. Again, you know that this is actually a command given by Apostle Paul. For many people, actually, joy is an emotion. It is just an emotion. Can you command somebody to have an emotion? That is beyond our control. So this joy is not just primarily an emotion. It is actually a decision. It's actually a relationship where we find security and surety and hope. It is based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, none of us can compare ourselves with Apostle Paul's situation in the prison. You know, we are going through many problems, I know. We have so many issues of life. But our situation is not as bad as Paul. You know, in a dungeon. Probably the sword is hanging on his head. And he doesn't know when he is going to die. But at that time also, Apostle Paul can talk about joy, because he knows that his joy cannot be taken from him. That is the gift of God. That is because of the relationship that he has with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to talk about how we can enjoy the joy of the Lord in our lives. How can we actually experience the joy of the Lord in our lives? Actually, the continuation of this passage is talking about how we can have this joy of the Lord in our lives. Then he says that, you know, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. You know, that particular word, reasonableness or gentleness, or in some other words, some other translations, you know, they have translated differently. It's a hard word. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The people who study this word has come to the conclusion that, you know, it's actually a relational word. It is a relational word. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. How one relates to other is actually the focus of this particular word. Or I will say, the way in which God lets his people enjoy the joy of the Lord is in relationships. You know, when our relationships are broken, that takes away the joy. So God establishes joy in our lives with godly relationships. It is Augustine who said this, and it's a very famous statement. He said that, you know, God has created people to be loved and things to be used. But our problem is, you know, we love things and use people. You know, actually, God has created relationships in the world so that we can actually enjoy the joy of the Lord. Friends, if we neglect relationships, our lives can never enjoy the joy that God has in store for us. The people who neglect, overlook the importance of relationships, then they cannot enjoy the joy of the Lord. You know, if you read chapter 4, there are two ladies in the church in Philippi, Euodia and Syntyche. You know, that's the, you know, you don't need to remember the names. Yeah. You know, remembering the names is also okay. And the problem was, you know, there was some conflict between these two ladies. I do not know how many members are there in the church at Philippi, but the conflict between these two ladies caused a lot of pain. And it was actually a threat to the joy of the church at Philippi. So he said, then you have to be concerned about how you relate to one another. If you want to have the joy, experience the joy of the Lord, you need to be concerned how you relate to one another and how you handle the relationships that God has given to you. You know, when there is conflict in the church, when conflict in homes, conflict in between spouses, you know, that takes away the joy of lives. And so we have to settle, he will entreat you already and Sindhike said, you know, you have to come back to the same kind of thinking in the Lord. You have to have the same mind. And there have to be peace in the relationship so that they can experience the joy of the Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, I will say this. If you are not willing to face the conflicts in your life, and if you are not willing to come back to terms with God and to handle your relationships the way God wants them to be, joy is something which is going to skip in your life. You cannot enjoy life when you overlook relationships. And it has to be orchestrated. It has to be the way that God has made that relationship to be. So the relationships are very important. And he says that you let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The word, the primary emphasis of this word is that not getting even with people because you have experienced the forgiveness of God. It is not getting even with people because you want to imitate Christ or imitate God the way he has dealt with you. You know, we want to have a peace of the flesh or of the people who have offended us. And I think that, you know, in relationships, when the relationships are more and more intimate, the hurt and pain in the rupture of that relationship is, you know, it's serious and it is very painful. And vengeance and to get even is always a temptation. The people have failed. They have deeply hurt us. And absolutely they have no right to do that. They have violated our faith. They have broken our hearts. So what should we do? Get even with them. You know, the pain they have caused to our hearts, somehow we have to repay it in the same coin. And then, you know, when they are under the agony, you know, we take some pleasure for the pain that they have inflicted into our lives. But, you know, we get even and we return the punch. But the problem is that, you know, that doesn't solve the problem. That doesn't solve the... It only aggravates the problem. That breaks the relationship. So Paul will say that, you know, let your reasonableness be known to all. Your willingness to forgive. Your willingness to imitate God the way he has dealt with you. Your willingness to ask for forgiveness. To the willingness to forgive. And willingness to not get even with people. That is hard, isn't it? A spouse who have betrayed you. You know, in a relationship you have great confidence and trust, and finally that person dumps you. Is that not hard? It is cruel. It is hard. It is painful. Some people are carrying this burden all their lives. This hurt. This burden. They're captive to this kind of vengeance and anger and frustration and pain. But God has a way to get over. And that is the way of Jesus. And the way the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with his enemies. Do you think that is the Lord Jesus Christ was dealt right? Do you think that, you know, they had the right to crucify him? To spit on his face? No. But he said, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, but entrusted his life to the one who will judge rightly. Friends, we have to say that, you know, this world, we are not going to get everything right. We can right all, no, we have not the capacity to right all the wrongs in the world. We cannot establish righteousness in the world. God alone can do it. So we have to leave it in the hands of God. And we have to be willing to forgive. You know, the tragedy of vengeance and the tragedy of taking things into our own hands is that, you know, we become slaves to other people. Your joy and happiness is actually given over to other people. When they treat you nice, you're going to be happy. If they are not going to treat you right, what do? You are going to be always unhappy, isn't it? We are captives to other people. We don't enjoy the freedom. But when we leave it in the hands of God, we ultimately enjoy the freedom that God has in store for us. And we leave other people into the hands of God, and we enjoy the freedom that God gives to us. So I will say that, you know, forgive others, not only for the sake of others, but for the sake of yourself as well. Because this is a burden too heavy to carry. It is a frustration too hard to hold on. By the grace of God, we can forgive. So we have to mend relationships. We have to get right so that we can enjoy the joy of the Lord in our lives. When husbands and wives, you know, when their relationship is broken and they are not on the same plane and they are not where God wants them to be, you have lots of money, you have good jobs. Will that compliment? Will that compliment? Relationships are foundational to the joy that God gives to God's people. We have to look at relationships God's way. We have to be willing to forgive. And we must be willing to ask forgiveness as well. You know, when I was looking into my own life, and I saw some relationship which was broken years ago. And so one of the things that God has, by the Spirit, enabled me to do is, you know, go back to them and ask them forgiveness because you have wronged them. And by the grace of God, you know, God will forgive and people will forgive when you are really repentant and really come to terms with the way you have dealt with them. And so, my friends, this is the command of the Lord. Let your reasonableness, let your gentleness, let your magnanimity, let your patience, let your willingness to forgive, let be known to everyone. What was so special about the Lord Jesus Christ? His magnanimity. His willingness to forgive. His willingness to take insult. His willingness to graciously forgive. It was known to everybody. Friends, this is my question to you. How are you known to the people around you? As a forgiving person? Quick to get right with people? Or are you a fighter? Trying to get even with people? Let your reasonableness, let your magnanimity, let your willingness to forgive, let your Christ-likeness be known to everybody. When we are like Christ in our relationship, that is when we are going to enjoy the joy of the Lord. When relationships are mended, and they are the where it need to be by the grace of God. We are all broken people. We all sin. And the only thing that we have to say to ourselves is that, you know, the Lord was gracious. I offended him. I am a sinner. But God forgave me. So I am willing to forgive as well. So the foundation of the joy, I will say, is a relationship. And then he continues, the Lord is at hand. You know, actually the word is translated again in different ways, in different translations. The word is actually near. The Lord is near. Actually, it can be understood in two ways. God is near as far as the space is concerned, he's very close to you. Or the coming of the Lord is near. He is near. That means the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is near. And there is an ambiguity. What is really Apostle Paul is trying to say? And I think that that ambiguity is intentional. He wanted to keep that word ambiguous. He wanted to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is near. And he also wanted to say that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is near. The foundation of our joy is relationships. And the most important relationship is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really want to have the joy of the Lord, then you have to be rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to understand, you have to feel, you have to experience the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was listening to people on the YouTube and, you know, many debates and discussions. You know, I was listening to Christopher Hitchens and then Dawkins and then Sam Harris and then the other guy. You know, they were all people who are rationalists and they are atheists. You know, they don't believe in anything supernatural. Then I found that, you know, they are actually locked in a physical world. And when they look up, the heavens are brazen. There is nothing from outside this physical world is real to them. They are locked. They are enslaved. But my friends, for us, there is help from heaven. There is a world. There is a supernatural element to life. There is a dimension which is not physical. That is our relationship with God. The nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do not believe in the God of the Bible, you know, I feel very sorry for them. Because you are so lonely, aren't you? In this universe, you are so lonely. But when the creator of the universe, the God of heavens, you can relate to him. You have that kind of a relationship with him. What an amazing truth that is. Apostle Paul will say that the truth or the reality and the secret of joy is the experience of God in our lives. The nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this is my question to you. Do you face life all by yourself? Or is Jesus with you at all moments of your life? Are you alone in the world and are you going through the pains of life all by yourself? Even many Christians are that way. They are lonely. There is no one. They are all by themselves. But the great wonder and privilege of Christians, the truth of the scriptures is that, you know, we never need to face life all by ourselves. And we can face life with Jesus Christ on our side. And the psalmist will say that, you know, I have always found God on my side. He is on my right hand. And I will not fear. You know, if you know, in when we are walking in strange paths and lonely ways and dark ways, to be alone is very terrifying. But when we have a hand to hold on, and we know that the one who created the universe is right by us, by our side, the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is near, is that not a source of joy? I will fear, the psalmist David will say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. You are with me. My brothers and sisters, that is the joy of our lives because we are never left alone. We walk in this life by the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. And the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the most fascinating thing in life. You know, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. Christianity is not a moral code. It is actually living with the Lord Jesus Christ is what Christianity is all about. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you? The nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is my prayer. In my life, I might be able to feel his breath on my shoulders. That is, the experience of Jesus Christ in my life is so real. I experience him every moment of life. That's my prayer. I walk with him. I talk to him. And he answers my prayers. And I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with me. And that is the greatest confidence of our lives. The basis of our joy is the relationship. And the most important relationship is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He paid for our sins. And on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, we can be eternally related to the Creator of the universe, the God of heavens. We have a relationship with him. We can call him Abba Father. Commenting on Romans 8, the great commentator Cranfield, he said, for the child of God, his help is only a cry away. He said, Abba, Father. You know, when small children are in trouble, what do they do when they are in trouble? You know, when they face some kind of a difficulty, what do? They call 911? No, they don't. They just cry. And then their parents, their mother, their father hears the cry and run to help. That's what children do. And Apostle Paul will say that, you know, we do not have the spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of adoption. We have the sonship. We can cry. And then our help is only a cry away. The Lord is near. Is he? Do you really enjoy the nearness of the Lord? Or is it sometime, or maybe on a Sunday morning, like a time of message or something, and then the Lord, you leave the Lord in the church and go home and the rest of the week, and then come back to get Jesus again. And you know, in the story that Luke describes in chapter 3 of Luke, he said that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, his parents took him to Jerusalem, and on the way back, they thought that Jesus was with them. And after 3 days, they're looking around, there is no Jesus. And you know, that is the experience of many of the Christians. They think that Jesus is with them, and at that particular moment, they look for Jesus. Jesus is nowhere. That is unfortunate. That is unfortunate. We always walk in his presence. There is an expression in the New Testament and the Old Testament also. He said, they walked in the face, before the face of God. That's what they said. Pene, the face of God. They walked in the presence of God. Always God looking on them, shining his face upon them. Like the experience of the people in the wilderness, the pillar of fire, always in the dark experiences of life, it is the pillar of fire. It is the face of God. It is the light of God that shines in our lives. So you can be joyful when you experience the presence of God in your life. There is a famous book by Brother Lawrence, Experiencing the Presence of God. And he said that in every moment of our life, we can experience God's presence. You know, when we walk with him. When we work, we talk with him. When we, in every encounter of life, Jesus Christ is with us. And that is an absolute strength and the greatest source of our joy. We are never orphans in this world. We are the children of the living God. Our Father is in heaven, and we can cry to him and he will listen to our cries. And so the Lord is near. And the second aspect of it, the Lord's coming is near. You know, we believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We are not the rationalists. Heaven can open and the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And that is indeed our hope. Sometimes I think our problem is that we feel too much at home in this world. We do not know that actually this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. And you know, either by death or by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this world is going to go away from us. We are not here forever. This is only a temporary dwelling for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. You know, actually, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is probably the most near at this particular time than ever. Evil in the world was never so obvious to our eyes than now, than ever. Look at ISIS. And look at the wickedness and the cruelty and the carelessness of the human heart and human mind. What people can do. Is this all that God is going to watch and this is the end? No. This is only an indicator to the end. He is going to come as the righteous judge. There is a day of reckoning. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And that's what the Bible says. So my friends, when life is hard and there is so much of unrighteousness in the world, and people all around us betray us and we are hurt, we say, but it is for a short time. He's going to come. In one of the early Christian experience of martyrdom, there was a father and a son. The son was about 8 years old. And they both confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were in the arena. And the gates were going to be opened and the lions are going to come. And they're going to eat. And the little boy said to the father, "Father, Father, will it not hurt?" Then he looked at his son and said, "Son, it will hurt. But it is for a little time. And then we will fly away." That is our hope. It is going to hurt. It is going to be painful. But it's only for a little time. And then we will fly away. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is near. He is going to set all the wrongs right. And righteousness will reign in this world. And righteousness will fill this world like the waters fill the sea. And we are looking forward to that day. If you are settled and if you are satisfied with the way the world is now, we are not Christians. We are looking for a world to come. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is not in this world. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And we believe it. We believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are looking forward to it. And the world is going to see the coming of the Lord. The heavens are going to open. And the trumpet is going to sound. And then he's going to come in the clouds. And he will say, "Come. Come and meet with me." And that's. That is the voice that we are going to hear. And we are looking forward to that. That is our hope. And that is where our joy is founded. So, the basis of our joy is relationship. And the most important relationship is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most exciting fact about that relationship is that he is going to come. And we are going to be with him forever. There is no end for our life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our hope. We do not put our hope in this world. We are waiting for a world to come. And that is our hope and that is our joy. Friends, brothers, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is near. And his coming is near. One final point. One final thing that, he says a few more things, but I would like to say one more, and then I'll finish. He said, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the source of your joy? The source of your joy is that, you are rightly related to God. You are rightly related to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going to come to receive you. And the reason for our joy is that we have a God in heaven. We have a Father in heaven who answers prayer. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Probably this is the one verse that has come to my mind more than any other verse in the Bible. When the griefs and the tempests and the burdens of life and the uncertainties of life, the fear that is going to face tomorrow, when they all come and knock on my door of my heart, these words come to me. Do not be anxious for anything. Do not be anxious for anything, but pray for everything. What an amazing promise. What an amazing promise. If you say that, I do not worry, then I think that is a matter of worry. Because you're not saying the truth. Yeah. Yeah. We all worry. Because, there are so many uncertainties of life. Our future, the unknown future and the uncertainties of life and what all things can happen. They all worry us. Actually, somebody has said that, when they were sharing the gospel, they use an illustration of cancer. They said, suppose you get cancer. And he said, that is a great illustration because, he said, most of the people that you talk to fear that sometime in their life they are going to get cancer. There are so many uncertainties of life that we are worried all the time. People cannot sleep because they are so concerned. They're anxious. Anxiety. We have new terms for describing all that kind of thing. But praise be unto the name of God that we don't need to be anxious. It is very easy to say than to practice it. When the problems of life and the uncertainties and the burdens of life come to us, rather than being anxious, we can go to God in prayer. What an amazing possibility that is. That is a great opportunity that God gives to us. Do not worry. Be joyful. Because our help is only a cry away. We can pray to God and God will answer. Even Christians are unbelievers when it comes to prayer. Prayer for many of us is just a ritual. In the morning we have to say something. Yeah. And then it is done for the day. And then in the evening, if you are really, really religious, you say, it's done for the evening. Now we can go to sleep. Is that the way prayer is for you? Someone has said that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was a great preacher. And if you have read the Sermon on the Mount, you will agree. No one has spoken like the Lord Jesus. His disciples heard many sermons by the Lord Jesus Christ, but they never came to him and asked him, Lord, teach us to preach. They never said that. They heard Jesus pray, and they saw him pray. They came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ were much more captivating, much more heart-touching to the disciples. And so they came to him and said, Lord, will you please teach us to pray as well? My friends, learning to pray is probably the greatest lesson that we can learn. Learning to pray. Haddon Robinson, the famous preacher, one time said that, you know, prayer is not the preparation for life or ministry. Prayer is actually ministry and life. It is not the preparation for prayer, it's actually ministry. It is not the preparation for ministry, it is actually the ministry. If you really learn to pray like the Lord Jesus Christ, like the apostles, then we don't need to be anxious about anything. Because in everything, we can pray to God. And there is a God in heaven who will answer. You know, if you have some financial problem and you have a personal knowledge, personal you know, relationship with the governor of Texas, will that help? Will that help? Yeah, I think so. I think so. You say that I know him personally. So I can call him and say a word to him. You know, he can help. What about President Obama? I don't know. Yeah, I know him personally. You know, when I'm in trouble, I can give him a call. Oh, hey, Mr. Obama, how are you? You know, is that not fascinating? Yeah, I know him, and he will call me once in a while. Hey, Bob, how are you? And you know, I won't come here to preach. No. I'll be in Washington. What about knowing the God of the universe? Call him. Do you know that his line is never busy? And we can call him and pray to him, and he will answer. When we pray, as Dr. William MacDonald will say, coincidences happen. And when we do not pray, they do not happen. When we pray, coincidences happen. And when we do not pray, they do not happen. I will say this story and I'll finish it. You know, sometimes I'll say that I'll finish, but I know I won't finish. But that's a different story, okay? And my friend in Nepal, when they were in the ministry in the Himalayan mountains, they had their second baby. And so they knew that, you know, there is no hospitals around, so they took his wife to the capital city, Kathmandu, to have the baby. And the hospital in Kathmandu, they so badly messed her up. You know, when they had the baby, you know, they cut her urinary bladder also. And so it was all messed up and infected. But he needed to go back to his orphanage because, you know, the kids were all by themselves and he needed to go. So what do? You pray in that situation. So he went back crying, praying to the Lord that, you know, somehow the situation will be handled because, you know, there was no urologist in that hospital and they didn't know what to do. And then a doctor from Detroit, he's actually a person from India. We know him. His name is Dr. John. He is the best urologist in India. And now he is working in Detroit. You know, we should have him in India, but, you know, he's here. But that's okay. Anyway, his son is a missionary in Nepal. So he came to visit his son about 5 hours away from Kathmandu. And then he was supposed to fly out from Kathmandu that evening. And his flight got canceled. So one of his friends came to pick him up from the airport because his flight was canceled. And on the way, he said, we have a missionary and his wife is in the hospital with some urinary problem. Will you go and see her? And he did. So he went to the hospital. He's the best urologist in India. And so he found what was wrong with her and then, you know, did what was necessary and gave her some money, what was left with him, and said that, you know, when your husband comes, you know, please say that, you know, I send my special regards to him. And when we pray, coincidences happen. Why his flight got canceled? Why the friend who came to pick them up, you know, knew about the situation that this particular brother was in? My friends, the joy of life is our willingness to pray and find answers from God. God is in heaven and he answers our prayer. And the words to explain it is, he talks about everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests, you know, four words are used in order to explain prayer. You know, sometimes our prayers are just requests. There is no supplication. There is no desperation. If God doesn't answer, what will happen? I'll take another option. Chuck Swindoll said this. He said that, you know, God's help is helpful, but not necessary. Is that the way we pray? God, if you come through, it'll be very nice of you. If you don't, I have other options too. I said that and I will stop, but then I have to say this also. Yeah. And this is R.C. Sproul. You know, he said this story. He said, one time a man is a mountaineer. You know, he was climbing the mountain. He slipped and he fell. And on the way down, you know, he held on to some kind of a branch of a tree and he was hanging between heaven and the earth. And then he prayed. The Lord, he prayed, God, are you up there? Then he said, yeah, I'm up here. What should I do? He said, you can let yourself go and I will catch you. He waited for a few seconds and he said, is anybody up there? Anybody else up there? This is risky, you know. I don't want to do that. Is anybody else up there? So my question to you is, how is our prayer? Is it just a ritual? Or is pleading with God for his intervention in our lives? One of the unfortunate things of life is that, you know, we want to solve our problems without repentance, without change of lives, without confronting God. We want God to solve our problems without affecting our lives. That's what we want. But we have to come to God in desperation. We need to cry unto him. And may the Lord of heavens intervene in our lives and transform our lives. Prayers are not for the sake of God. It is actually for our sake. Prayers are not to change God. Prayers are to change us. Prayers are to change us. The intervention of God in our lives. He is willing. And He will answer our prayers. So my friends, we can be joyful. Because we have an amazing relationship with the God of heaven. Oh, He's so near to us. He's nearer than our breath. Not only that, His coming is near. We are looking forward eagerly, like a betrothed woman waiting for the coming of her husband or the bridegroom. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, while we are away, we have the great privilege of prayer. We can call unto him and we can speak to him. We can make our request known to him. We can plead with him for his mercy and his intervention and his kindness. And he will do it. So, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The world, the joy and the peace that the world cannot give is our possession because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are joyful because we have a future and we have the presence of God in our lives and we have the great privilege of prayer. And so we can be joyful. Will you join with me in prayer? Our gracious Father, we want to confess that we are burdened with too many things. We are anxious about so many things. We are crowded. And sometimes we fail to see you. And we think that we are alone. We are abandoned. But Lord, thank you for the wonderful promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Your presence is so real. Will you make that so evident in our lives? Oh, Father, we pray that we will learn to pray and we will come to your throne of grace and we will be warriors in prayer and our lives will be transformed and the will of God will be done in our lives. We are desperately needed people. Will you please intervene in our lives? Will you please change us? Will you please make us into the likeness of your Son? Thank you, Lord, for gathering us together to listen to your voice. We pray that this is acceptable in thy sight and your words will actually penetrate into our hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray.